Well, let's hear God's word tonight from Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. I'm going to be thinking about one particular phrase in verse 10, but I'll read from 8 to 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that was told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. May God bless his word to us. Please be seated. Well, as we continue to think of things that typically accompany this time of year, Christmas time, to name it, one of them is joy. And it's the thing I want to focus on this evening in particular. Joy as it comes in the news of the Incarnation. Joy which spreads to us and comes to us in all of our lives. Joy is one of the great emotions that come with the Incarnation. We have that here, as I mentioned earlier in verse 10. The angel appears to the shepherds and he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." You know, we often talk about the gospel as being good news. Well, from this particular phrase, we might define it as great joy news. Not just good news, but great joy news. Great joy news. The angels herald the news as joy. The wise men felt the joy that the angels proclaimed in the news. This morning when we considered the wise men following the star to go and give gifts to Jesus, we read there that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The angels heralded it. The wise men felt it. Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, leapt for joy, even in his mother's womb, Luke 1:44 tells us, when Mary came and greeted her sister. And this makes sense because, as Proverbs 15:30 reminds us, good news refreshes the bones. When you hear good news, it makes you happy. It makes you feel good. If you get a phone call this evening, a family member calls you up and says, "I've got some good news," you can barely wait to hear the rest, to know what is to be told. Even before you hear the news, just knowing that it's great, just knowing that it's good, brings that joy. Well, all the more so with the incarnation of the Son of God, with the birth of Jesus, this great joy news, this good news that brings joy. Joy is an emotion that we all want, isn't it? It feels very good. It's something we seek, but it's not always found. We often find ourselves in places and in times where we don't have joy, that we want to know how to get it, where it comes from. Well, tonight we want to think about this, joy in particular, as it connects with Jesus. We want to think about the different kinds of joy, sinful joy, earthly joy, and heavenly joy. We want to hear why the birth of Jesus is news that is so news to be joyful about. Now, I'm going to tell you in advance that I'm going to be quoting a lot of scripture. And here's one reason. Jeremiah 15:17 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy." There is a way in which the Word of God itself brings delight to our hearts. It helps remind us of the truth of the good news. Sometimes news that we hear, we become hardened to it, desensitized because of our own sinful natures. There's all kinds of reasons for this, but whatever the reason may be, this happens with the gospel as well. And we lose a sense of its preciousness, of the goodness of it, of the delight in it. And hearing the Word of God, we are reminded of why that is, of what makes it delightful, what it is that fills our hearts with joy. This morning, in our Sunday school hour, we were considering Pilgrim's Progress, and we thought about this, didn't we? This Christian lost his sword, that sword that was the Word of God. He struggled, but upon picking it up again, he gained some strength. So we'll do that this evening, considering joy in the Word of God. First, consider sinful joy, and we'll get it quickly out of the way. Not because it's unimportant, but because it's somewhat obvious. We find joy in dark places. Joy is an exceedingly good thing, but not all joy is derived from good things. We must recognize this, admit this, that sometimes we take pleasure and delight in the wrong things, and this is not something to be joyful about. This is not the kind of joy we should seek. Instead, we should avoid it. The Bible warns us and tells us about this kind of sinful joy. Proverbs 2:14 speaks of those who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. They have fun. They enjoy the bad. They enjoy the sinful. Proverbs 15:21 says, "Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense." The fool gets in trouble, and where the wise person learns from it and says, "I was an idiot, why did I do that?" The fool enjoys his folly and falls into it all the more. This is a bad and evil kind of joy. Proverbs 24:17 warns us of a very particular kind of sinful joy, though there are, of course, others. Proverbs 24:17 says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles." God even attaches a sort of consequence to this when he says, "Lest Jehovah see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him." I think the implication of that is toward you, that you laugh at your enemy and God is displeased and you become the enemy. This is the kind of sinful joy the Bible warns against. Joy in sinful things, joy in folly, joy at the fall of others, even the fall of an enemy. It's sinful joy and it is to be hated. There's something better, though. There is, of course, earthly joy. And the Lord has filled the world with many, many, many things that bring us joy. When I spent time reflecting on this week, It doesn't take long when you start counting your joy or thinking about things that you're joyful about that that smile inside begins to work its way outward. I'm not sure what things in particular bring you joy. Maybe it's coffee in a cold morning. Maybe it's when the weather finally cools off here in Tucson. Maybe it's a sunset. All kinds of things that we can rejoice in. And the Bible mentions many in particular. Proverbs, again, speaks of joy when justice is done. A kind of pleasure that we find when righteousness happens, particularly in justice. Proverbs also says that an apt answer brings joy. That kind of perfect word at the right moment, in the right way, in the right time, it makes you smile. The Bible talks about marriage as bringing joy and even commands it in great ways. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated, always in love with her. These earthly joys that the Lord gives to us are wonderful. Even the creation is said to exhibit a kind of joy. In Psalm 65:12, we read that when the Lord provides in a great, abundant way on the earth through rain and vegetation, things like that, that the hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. The way the Bible speaks even of the non-human elements of creation as just glorying in the Lord and the things that he has given them, the hills, the meadows, the valleys, the earth. Maybe it's chocolate during a difficult day, a shoulder rub from a friend, $5 that you find in your pocket, or the sight of a horse standing among the trees. There are all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things that the Lord fills the earth with, things for which we are joyful. But this earthly joy has its limits. It has its limits. Proverbs, in speaking about the joy of justice and marriage and apt answers and other things, has this dark proverb as well. Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 through 12, here the preacher expresses his project in which he went out into the world and sought these joys to the max in every possible way he could. And he finds himself frustrated in the end. He says in chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, "And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." This aching in the heart, even in the midst of joy that Proverbs describes, and the way that the preacher describes in Ecclesiastes of going out into the world and setting his hand and his mind and his heart to do good work, to learn, to grow, to experience. He also finds that in all that toiling, in all that good work that was supposed to bring him lasting joy, he finds it all vanishing, going away even as in the wind. And this is not the experience of him alone. Many, many people feel this every day. And it's what keeps people searching. What keeps them searching for the next best thing, a kind of joy, a kind of thing that will finally bring things together. Whether that's a certain amount of money or a perfectly optimized schedule or a certain kind of relationship or family, the list goes on and on and on. Maybe sometimes we put it in even very low things, cars or gadgets, or even in base things, sinful things. But though God decks the earth with all kinds of good things, things for us to enjoy, there is a kind of greater joy that goes even beyond the earthly, that is the joy that people really want, the joy that ultimately they are after. It's a heavenly kind of joy. A heavenly joy, it's called this because it both comes from heaven and it transcends the things of the earth. There's no vanity in it. There's no moment in which it seems to exist and then vanishes, just crumbles under you, sifts out from between your fingers. There's no other side of the coin when it comes to heavenly joy. It's perfect. It's complete. It's eternal. And it's that kind of joy, not sinful joy, not good earthly joy, but this eternal heavenly joy that is being announced by the angels in our passage tonight. When the shepherds are there in their fields and this angel appears and announces to them this good news of great joy, this is what they are describing. It's what the shepherds experienced and felt when they went, what the wise men experienced and felt. It's what John, I guess, felt when he was in the womb and he leaped for joy. It's a heavenly kind of joy, and it's an eternal kind of joy because it's from God and it's in God. Listen to Psalm 43, verses 4 and 5. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, and my God. In these two verses, we have the word God 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Over and over and over again, and very clearly put, even at the very beginning, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. A heavenly joy is, as I said, from heaven in the sense that it is from God and it transcends the earth and that it is God himself. Our heavenly joy is eternal and everlasting because it is grounded. It comes from the God who made everything himself. We're reminded in Romans 14:1 that the joy that we have is joy in the Holy Spirit. We have joy, the Bible says, in the strength of the Lord. Well, because of this kind of joy is from God, that means it is great. It means it's everlasting. It means it's the kind of thing that can't be frustrated. It's the kind of thing that won't come in vain. Jesus' arrival on earth, this incarnation, the Son of God taking on flesh, is not something that is going to just not work out. It is going to bring about the things that God has promised, things that can be described as news of great joy. The releasing of people from captivity, the conquering of Satan, the defeat of death, the securing of an inheritance for a people that is eternal and spiritual and everlasting. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This is a different kind of joy than enjoying a chocolate bar at 2 o'clock on the Friday afternoon. That's nice. might get you through the next hour. You might really enjoy it. But it is not going to fill you with the fullness of joy. You will not find pleasures forevermore. And you won't find it there or any of the other places that we often seek it. But in the Lord, in God Himself, He gives to us that. The fullness of joy. Delight in the heart. Pleasure that's everlasting. Now this joy, this great gift that God gives to us, is indeed a gift. It's given to you. This is an important thing to note. This joy that we have is not a sinful joy. It's not a joy that's stolen. We don't climb into the heavenly places and somehow rip something out of God's throne room and say, aha, I have one of the treasures of the king. No, this is one of his treasures that he gives to us because he loves us. He gives it to us in particular in the salvation that comes to us in Jesus. Isaiah 61:10. I will rejoice greatly in Jehovah. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. You hear the connection there? You hear the connection between rejoicing in God and why we rejoice in God? The way it is that we come to rejoice and have this kind of eternal joy? It's because of salvation. Because he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Isaiah goes on to describe what that's like, and he uses three metaphors. One of a bridegroom sort of putting on his wedding garments, of a priest being clothed in his headdress, and a bride being, I believe it's covered with jewels. This is the way in which we are clothed with salvation. It's this kind of entering into this position of glory, of goodness, of joy. And it's one of the great gifts of God, isn't it? Joy. It's one of the gifts that he's given. It comes to us as a promise that is fulfilled. We find joy in the fact that God is doing the thing that he said he would do. Remember, Isaiah's in the Old Testament. Jesus is born much later on. In him, in this coming of the Christ, this coming of the Messiah, we have God doing the things he has said he will do, giving the gifts he has promised. But Jesus not only fulfills promises, which brings us joy, but there's also joy in the hopes of future things to come. Jesus promises us a place in heaven. He promises us that when we die, we will raise from the dead, that we will live forever, and that we will do so without sorrow and always with joy. These kinds of hopes sustain us. This gift of joy that God gives to us in the salvation that comes in this baby, it sustains us. This gift sustains us in a way that even sorrows become opportunities for joy. This gift that God sustains us in, the salvation of Jesus, is effective in such a way that even sorrows become opportunities for joy. Habakkuk 3:17 describes famine, a coming famine, a promised famine, and then continues with, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Or persecution. Acts 5:41, we read of Jesus' disciples departing from the council after being persecuted, rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer shame for his name. Joy in famine. Joy in persecution. Joy in imprisonment. In Acts 16, we read that we read of Christians being beaten and imprisoned. And at midnight, there is Paul singing with joy. Hebrews 10:34 describes the loss of property. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you had a better possession and an abiding one. You see how these future things, these promises that Jesus, gifts that Jesus secures and promises to us, have a way of affecting our lives here and now. So that even when we suffer for his name, we find that we can rejoice. Even when our property and our wealth is taken from us, when our backs are ripped open by the whip, when we lose even our very lives, we can joyfully accept these things because of the better possession, the abiding one that is to come. 1 Peter 4:12 characterizes all these things, and he talks about rejoicing in the midst of all kinds of fiery trials. Joy. The gift of God that comes in the salvation of Christ. That's what the angels were announcing. That's why the wise men fell to worship at the manger. It's why John leapt in the womb. Because in the birth of the Son of God, the world was given by God himself salvation, hope, and a guaranteed future without any sorrow. In other words, we were given joy, a lasting treasure. Indeed, it wasn't only Jesus' birth that was touched by joy. We read that at his resurrection, the women departed quickly from the tomb, Matthew 28:8. They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. At his coming, at his birth, at his resurrection, at his ascension too, also touched by joy. Luke 24:52, he was carried up into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Even at the cross, even at this low, low point, the lowest point, when Jesus was suffering and dying, Hebrews tells us that it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross and despised the shame. The good news, the gospel, the great joy news that God proclaims so clearly to these shepherds is what is also proclaimed to you tonight. And in that news, in this Jesus, there is great joy. Joy eternal, joy without sorrow, joy and delight in God. So hear and believe. And look at the world in a new way. And when your heart is filled with the joy of the Lord, the joy of God, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy of his strength, the joy of his promises, the joy of Christ our King, you don't need to bottle it up, but you can share it with others, and you can worship your Savior. Let us pray.